Morena, everyone. The first reading is from Job, chapter 38, beginning at verse 1. The Lord speaks. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wārua ki te hāhi. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Whako mui miti te kōrera ki te ātua. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ. Whakamoemitia ia te kupu mana.
No, I'm not speaking. It's a real privilege this morning to introduce our speaker, who's moved from the back row to the front row this morning. This is Miriam, and I'll allow her to introduce herself because she's actually part of the family here, but she probably would want to introduce herself and place herself in some context. But I just want to pray for her this morning as she comes to speak to us. We just pray for Miriam this morning, Lord, that you will speak through her. Her words will be inspired by you. They will be words of wisdom. They will be words for this season. They will be words for us. Amen.
Am I allowed to move the Bible off? Yeah. Not sure of the rules in the Anglican Church. Tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora e hui hui mai nei. E mihi ana ki ngā mana whenua. He tangata tiriti aho. Nō Waikanae aho, e tipu aki aku tamariki ki raro i ngā paraero o Ruahini ki Maunga ki Waipokarau. Nō reira ngā mihi ki Ngāti Kahununu. Nō Raumati South aho i noho ana. Ko Stephen Bucknell tōku papa, ko Ruth Manley tōku mama, ko Tama Maiden taku tāne, ko Grace Rato, ko Elijah, ko Lydia, ko Malachi, ko Evie Joy, aku tamariki, ko Miriam Bucknell toku ingoa, no reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you so much for having me share with you this morning. It's so nice to be invited. As I mentioned in my mihi, my name's Miriam Bucknell and I'm married to Tama. If you could just pop that photo up. So this is our family. So I'll say who we all are. So over on the far side, that's Grace, our daughter, and Ben, her fiancé, and they're actually here this morning, so that was a nice coincidence. And they live in Auckland. And on that other side, that's our oldest son, Elijah, and he lives in Auckland as well. He's at university. And then next to him, that's Lydia. She's 18, and she still lives in Waipokoro. We left her behind. It was her final year of high school, so it was sort of a bad time to move her. So she's boarding with some friends. And then that's Tama and I in the middle. And then there's Malachi there. He's 14, year 10 at Parapara Umu College. And then that's little Evie Joy, and she's 6, and she is at Kapa Kapa Nui. So I always think it's really nice when someone shares, if you get to know who they are. So I thought I'll put up a photo of us all so you can see who we all are. And so I actually grew up in Waikanae. I lived here from 1981 till 1988. So I went to Kapa Nui School, and my dad was Stephen Bucknell, so he was the minister of the Baptist Church while I lived here. And there are some faces here that from my time in Waikanae, so Bruce Candy, Dr. Cameron, Brian and Sue Wilson, and so they're all familiar to me. And it's actually a little bit surreal to find myself back here in Kapiti, living here after all these years. So when we lived here, my dad actually passed away while we were here. So Waikanae is a really significant place for me because it's the last time that my nuclear family was complete. So we were actually wooed here by the call of Bishop Justin. Some of you might know how convincing he can be. And Tama has actually taken on the role as the regional coordinator for AYM, so the role that Luke and Amelie were doing. And we are now calling St. Luke's here our spiritual home. So as I explained in my mihi, Waipokoro is a really special place for our family. So we have lived there for the last 20 years, and my children all grew up there, and so it was a pretty big move to come here. Tama and I actually both spent the first 20 years of our life as Baptists, and then the next 20 years as Presbyterians, and now here we are with the Anglicans. So some people have said that we have come over to the dark side. And some people have said that we have finally seen the light, but I think I will reserve my judgment until a little bit more time has passed. So, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So a funny story, a few weeks ago I was actually sitting in church and I just thought, I'd really like to preach here. And then 2 days later, Mark rings me up and says, would you like to speak at church? And I was like, yes, I will. And then if that wasn't enough, he tells me the scripture, and it actually contained one of my favourite verses of the Bible. So then when I was getting ready, I had the small moment of panic, thinking all these things must be pointing towards the best sermon that anyone's ever heard. But I just actually let that go, and I thought, I'll just do the best I can and share what's on my heart. So let's just pray as we start. Dear Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all here this morning. And Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit just comes down and rests on us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that that people hear the message that you have for them this morning. Amen. Okay, so we've heard the scripture this morning. I'm going to be speaking, I chose the Mark scripture, not the Job scripture. So Mark 4:35 to 41, and the scene has kind of been set. Jesus and his disciples have been really busy. It was a period of time after Jesus had been baptized and he was just beginning his ministry, and he'd started gathering a group around him. And in chapter 3, just before the story starts, he called his 12 disciples. And we enter the story, I think, with some really worn out, tired people. Jesus had been speaking all day. Earlier in Mark, he'd had a little bit of a confrontation with some Pharisees, not unusual. Then his brothers and his mother had come to see him, and he kind of dismissed that they were looking for him. So perhaps there'd been some family teaching. And it was the first time that he had preached using parables to share the news. Mark shared about the parable of the seed last week. So when evening came, I think Jesus must have been absolutely exhausted. It was hot, he was tired, and he said to his disciples, "Let's jump on a boat and go over to the other side." So Jesus settles himself in the stern of the boat on a cushion. He clearly was very relaxed. And while they were sailing, this huge storm came up and the waves began breaking over the boat. And I guess let's imagine what that might have been like for a moment. He's sailing with 12 of his friends, and we know at least four of them have been professional fishermen. So Andrew, Peter, James, and John. And they knew the Sea of Galilee, and they were aware, and they'd probably experienced the storms that came up on the sea, on that piece of water. But it must have been bad enough that they were so scared that they thought that they might die, and they woke Jesus up. So I've just got a little video, a very quick video of a storm. Imagine that instead of a cargo ship, it's a wooden sailing boat. Full on, eh? Quite full on. So in verse 38 it says, Jesus was asleep on a cushion and they woke him saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus got up and rebuked the storm and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified. And this is my favorite bit of the verse. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him. He was so powerful that even the wind and the waves obeyed him. So what does it look like for us? How do we react when we are faced with storms in our lives? And the reality is, for each of us, we will experience storms. If you haven't yet, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a spoiler. You will experience a storm in your life. It's coming. There's no avoiding it. There's no getting out of it. They'll come. There's financial storms. There's health storms, loss of life, loved ones, betrayal, storms of loneliness, faith storms. The list, I guess, is endless. But when they come, do we live by fear or do we live by faith? When we arrived in Waipukoto, we joined a little Presbyterian church called St. Andrew's. It's quite similar to this one, actually. And it was just so, so alive. We'd come from Palmerston North, and we'd been at a Baptist church, and Mum said to me, "Oh, where are you going to go to church?" And I said, "Oh, we'll go to a Baptist church." And she said, "Oh, I don't think there'll be a Baptist church there." And she was right, so we sort of had a look around, and we chose this little Presbyterian church called St. Andrew's. And I can still remember sitting in a service quite soon after we moved there, and they asked people to stand up in the congregation if they had joined the church through Alpha. And over half the congregation stood up, and I was like amazed. And this little church had taken Alpha, and they had just run with it. And it was incredible, and pretty soon Tama and I realized that it was really important for us to do an Alpha course as well. We were both Christians, but we really wanted to see what the fuss was all about. We wanted to see how a course which went through just the basics of Christianity could have such a profound effect on a community and have so many people, course after course, experiencing the Holy Spirit and surrendering their lives to Jesus. So Tama went on the next course, and he loved it. And it was life-changing for him. And on the Holy Spirit weekend, he encountered Jesus like he'd never before. He spoke in tongues for the first time. He saw breakthroughs. He experienced breakthroughs. And it was, from what I heard, an incredible weekend. So the next course, I'm like, right, this is it. This is my turn. Bring it on. And I'm like, so we go away for the Holy Spirit weekend, and I'm like, this is my moment. And I got nothing. I mean, people around me gave their lives to Christ and they were moved by the Holy Spirit, but I didn't really get anything. And I came away from that weekend and a spiritual storm hit me. And instead of running to Jesus, I ran away from him. And it wasn't totally dramatic. I didn't completely turn my back on him. But you know those moments, like, so maybe you've got a friend and they've annoyed you, or maybe they've offended you or left you out, and you're just kind of hurt by them. And all you want to do is sort of avoid them. You just don't want to engage with them. And so maybe you're waiting outside and you're waiting to be picked up, and you can see them walking past, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to talk to them, and I don't want to. So you pick up your phone, and you pretend you're on your phone, and then they walk past, and you're just like, so you just do the head nod, you know, or perhaps, you know, you might like their latest photo on Facebook, but you avoid having any real relationship with them because you feel hurt, or you feel a bit let down, or maybe even a bit embarrassed. That's what it was like for me. So I was kind of cross with God. I was embarrassed. I thought, am I not good enough to receive a Holy Spirit encounter? So I kind of avoided him. I didn't completely turn my back on him, but I didn't try to build or restore my relationship with Jesus. And that went on for quite a few months. Now, that wasn't a huge, huge storm in my life, but it was a storm. And fast forward 18 years, there's been lots of, you know, storms during that time. But Tama and I were faced with the most difficult pastoral tragedy in our ministry. And now we're thinking this storm is just huge. There's deceit, there's betrayal, there's children, there's adults involved. It's just massive and huge. And we were just faced with this catastrophic storm. And we had a choice as to how we would react. And we pushed into Jesus. We came to him broken and devastated, and we prayed and we fasted and we read the Bible and we played worship music on repeat, I did, and we sought wise counsel. And it didn't take away from the mess and the pain, but we stood firm in the storm and it actually grew our faith. So what was the difference between storm one and storm two? Maybe not the difference between the storms, but the difference between the way I reacted. Why did I react with fear and run away in one of them, but in the second one, move towards Jesus? I think for me, the difference is the years of growing and investing in my relationship with Jesus. And that happened in a variety of ways, but I just want to share three of the ways for me that I consistently find really helpful, so that when I'm faced with a storm, I run towards Jesus instead of running away from him. So probably the most significant area of growth and support that I've found in my relationship with Jesus is being part of a small group or a life group, whatever you want to call it. For me, it's that consistent kind of growing and teaching and going deeper with a group of people, asking hard questions of each other, being accountable to each other. You know, it's like relationships and support. So when you have, for me, when I've had babies, you know, people have brought around meals, and when there's been crises in my life, or, you know, people in my life who perhaps have family members who have been going through cancer or things like that, I have this group of people that have come around me and done the journey with me and looked after me. And then I, in turn, have done the journey with them and looked after them. They've been with me in celebrations when good things have happened as well. And it's just that kind of real accountability, you know, that day-to-day, week in, week out, kind of meeting with a group of people to regularly pray together, to kind of talk about what happened on Sunday and go a bit deeper with it. Maybe to be brave enough to have those political kind of conversations, or conversations about different things that are happening in the wider world, and, you know, our kind of part in that. And also the amazing thing for me that has come up in small groups is it's been my ability to practice my own leadership skills. So, you know, you take turns, who's going to lead the study this week, who's going to facilitate that, who's going to find the material. You know, you're researching what it is that you're going to be sharing that week. And it's been a real growing thing for me. I do know that here at St. Luke's there are a couple of home groups or life groups. So if you're not part of one and they're full, maybe talk to Mark about starting one up. For me, I just think that real accountability and doing life with people has been so significant in my spiritual journey and being able to face those storms. And the good thing about a small group is that, you know, there's sometimes when you get to a storm in your life and it's just very hard for you to do it, but other people can hold up your hands and they can pray when you can't pray. You know, they can come around and help clean up your house when you've hurt your back and you can't clean up your house. Or they can go and talk to someone on your behalf when it's just too difficult perhaps for you to face that person. So I think there's some really amazing things, that gifts that we can get out of the small groups. The second thing for me that's really helped me is conferences and workshops like New Wine and Ministry Family Camp. I know that the Anglican Church has Anglican Studies, I think they're called, or things you can take part in. And that's been so good for growing and expanding my toolbox. So as a family, we've been going to New Wine for over a decade, and I love starting the year off fresh with that whole wider church kind of family, and that's how I start the year off. I love hearing from different speakers that I wouldn't normally hear from, and it's totally grown and expanded my toolbox. I've learnt new things, you know, if you can, like some of you might have done Richard Black courses, like once again it's just growing your toolbox. And for me, that's just been really significant. I think Tama would probably add to that for him is podcasts and books, lots of Christian books that he listens to. And once again, it's just, you know, there's only so much I can get out of my own head. But when I talk and hear from other people, it's been so influential in helping me grow and learn. And the last thing for me that I have found so significant is worship music. Putting it on repeat and just playing it. You know, in those moments when we were dealing with that last crisis, I said there were times when I just didn't feel like praying, and I got up in the morning and I didn't want to. I was worn out, but I was happy just to put on my worship music, and so those prayers kind of flowed over me. The amazing thing about so many songs is how, you know, you hear it and you think, oh, that's an entire verse in the Bible. I know exactly what they're talking about. You hear the scriptures, even if you don't have the energy perhaps to read the scriptures. You know, they will come in and they will sink into your heart, you know. And in those moments when you perhaps can't find the words to pray, you might, the lyrics of a song might come to you. And we can pray in different ways, can't we? And so for me, I think worship music has been so significant in helping me face some of those storms and helping me grow my relationship with Jesus, so that when I am faced with those storms, you know, I've got this toolbox full of things. I guess these three things help me push into my faith. They're ways that I can regularly invest into Jesus, and I think they give me confidence to ask for help, to accept help, to communicate my fears or my joys, and to listen to the promises in the Bible that Jesus has for me. For some of you, you may have different ways that that resonate with you. I know my daughter does a lot of journaling. That's probably a way that she would say that she really connects with Jesus. I know for a lot of friends of mine, it's going out in nature, like walking, hiking, running, cycling, whatever your thing is, just another way of finding that opportunity, that time to connect with Jesus, to grow your faith. And I guess I just want to encourage you, and at the same time encouraging myself. If you'll find something if you've found something that works for you, do more of what works. You know, do more of what works. But if you're looking for something else that perhaps you feel like, oh, well, maybe there's a little gap and I'd like to grow something else in another way, I encourage you, join a small group, find a small group, start a small group. Go to workshops and conferences and camps and things that are going to invest into you and pop on that worship music that can just fill your heart in a different way. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, the reality is in life we will be faced with storms. There's no avoiding them. Some of us might be in the middle of a storm right now, Lord. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you help us in those moments to face those storms with faith, not fear. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us to run towards you and not away from you. I thank you, Lord, for the things in our lives that we have that help us grow our relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, for those of us that are looking for something else to help grow that relationship, that we will be able to identify something that perhaps might work and give it a go, Lord. We thank you for your unconditional love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Miriam, for those words of encouragement. Just